Hi. Good to see you. South Louisiana, we'd say it's good for you to see me. Thank you for having Joanne and I up here. We don't normally keep our air conditioning quite this low, but it's good to be here. We were here in May of 2005. So we're alumni. We were up for an evangelist seminar retreat, I think. Evangelist retreat, I think, was what they called it. Had a great time. Afterwards came here. That was in May of 2005. On the 29th of August of 2005, Hurricane Katrina came in and dramatically altered our life. So I can tell you frankly, we have no remembrance of being here. So if we behaved ourselves, just thank the Lord. And if we didn't, we don't remember. So. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, a very well-known section of Scripture. We're going to be looking this week in my ministry on the walk of the believer. We're going to start out tonight with kind of a prerequisite to that, and we're going to look at the making of a believer. Matthew 28, starting at verse 18. Well, let's start at 16, just for a little background. Then the 11, now you know the betrayer has left, and the 11 disciples at that time went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And then starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, or to keep, or to obey, or to do, or to live out in their lives all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Let's pray. Father, bless your word this evening. We pray, Lord, as we open this incredible book, we sit with it on our laps, and Father, we would just ask that your Spirit would have free sway, and the little bit of your heart that's recorded in these little verses, that your Spirit would move that from these pages into our hearts and minds. Father, help us to take it in, help us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Father, don't let me get in the way. Let your Spirit be our teacher, and we commit the evening together to you. In the name of thy lovely Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, over the next few meetings, we're going to be looking at the walk of the believer. But before we do, I'd like to take just this little bit of time tonight to look at what a believer really is. What a believer really is. What a believer really is. I'm not saying notice. I'm not saying a churchgoer, a member, a card-carrying, fill-in-the-blank of some denomination, or someone who brings their letter or transfers their letter, or burns their letter up. I'm talking about, we're going to look a little bit at what a believer really is. And how a person becomes one, and what it means to that life. And here in Matthew 28, the Lord Jesus charges his disciples, and I'd like to say by extension, charges you and me with their responsibility and our responsibility as believers as we live our lives in this world. I don't know how it is in Grand Rapids, Michigan, but in South Louisiana, I really wish when you got saved that you went to heaven. Wouldn't that be, we have a vote on that? Huh? I used to say when I first got saved, I would talk to people about the gospel, and I'd tell them, you know, when you get saved, it's going to fix all your problems. What do you think about that? Right? Anyway, I was much younger then. And it does fix a lot of problems. If you're a drug addict, alcoholic, pervert, many different things, the Lord Jesus can fix those things. There's nothing in the realm of life and godliness that the Lord Jesus can't fix. Notice I said can't fix. We've got to let him fix them. But in a lot of ways, life gets a lot harder. Right? I never passed a bar that I didn't go in and enjoy before I was saved. Now all of a sudden, when I'd get around a bar, there was a struggle inside of me, and the old nature and the new nature would wrestle. And as my old friend used to say, you know who wins a dog fight? Two dogs equally adept. The one that wins is the one you feed. Well, that's true with those two natures too, isn't it? And as you grow in Christ, you find out lots of things go away, but you find out you got a lot of new battles to fight that you weren't a battle before. Well, the Lord Jesus is going to give us some instruction on this. And I think it's really critical and important, verse 18, where he starts it all. He comes and sits down with them, and he says to them, let me lay some groundwork for you. While I'm with you, I'm an orphan kid. I started my life in an orphanage in South St. Paul, Minnesota. I was adopted, grew up in a foster home, foster family in Minneapolis. So I'm a northern boy by birth, but I've lived most of my life in the South. And so in the South, when somebody asks you a question, then the normal response is,
"Yes, sir." You
answer it, right? So when I'm speaking, there'll be a little bit of two-way conversation here. This is like the family sitting down together, and so I may ask you some questions. Feel free to give me some input back. And if tomatoes fly, I'll know that I've gotten in a wrong area. So it's a little dangerous now because the meeting where we were saved, the pew Bibles were all Scofield Bibles. And so they could say, now turn to page 1045, and we knew everybody was on the right page, you know. So it's changed a little bit since those days. But the Lord Jesus came and he spoke to them and he said, what's the next word? Okay, this is your turn now. All, right? It's dangerous with different translations, but most of us, it probably says, the Lord Jesus came and he said unto them, saying, what?
All
authority is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Did he leave anything out? No, right? You can be confident. I don't know who you voted for in this last election. It was the best election of my lifetime. It really was. It really was. I won't tell you who I was voting for, but and it had nothing to do with who won it. But you talk about a hard-fought election. This was down and dirty. They fought for every vote there was on both sides, right? I think it was a great election. Whoever had won it, it was a great election. Now, you might have been on the winning side, and you're happy as a clam. You might be on the losing side. A little less happy. Right? But you can count on this, that whoever's in that office, God put there. Right? God put him there. And he's got the position of the most powerful man in the world. Our president. Right? The most powerful man in the world. But he cannot say to you, all authority is given unto me both in heaven and in earth, right? He can say, listen, I got a lot of power. I got the button. I got the code. I got the football. But he can't control heaven. And there's an awful lot of this earth he can't control. I'm not so sure he can even control his own, what do you call it? You guys know. When you send stuff out on the internet, President Trump does this all the time. Come on, work with me here, huh? Tweets. I'm not sure he can even control his tweets all the time, right? But listen, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has all authority. It's been given to him in heaven and in earth. You are the representative of the most powerful being in the universe, Jesus the Christ. That's something, huh? Little Bobby Brown, orphan kid from South St. Paul. My foster family paid $55.50 for me. I think that's a bargain. What do you think, huh? You can't hardly even go to a movie for that. And I'm a servant of the most powerful person in the universe. Listen, you are a servant of the, if you're a believer here tonight, you're a servant of the most powerful person in the universe. What have you got to fear? Somebody comes up to you and says, I'm going to shoot you, bucko. Hey, shoot away. I'm going to heaven. Where are you going? Right? The worst this world can do to you is kill you, and I'm in heaven. You better be sure, though, that you know for sure where you're going when you die. Because then you don't know. The Lord Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. That's a really important statement because now you represent, go into this world knowing that you represent the most powerful person in the universe. He's on your side. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And he loves you more than anybody in this world loves you. My mama, the only parents I knew were my foster parents. My mama loved me. My daddy loved me, and I was a handful. I was a nice handful, but I was a handful. But they loved me. They didn't scratch the surface on how much God loves me. The Bible tells me that God not only loves me, but he so loves me. You know, he could have left that word out of there, right? Could have just said, for God loved the world and gave his only begotten son. Doesn't say that, does it? It says, for God so loved the world. And you can put your name in, if you're a believer, well, anybody here, believer or not, you can put your name in that little verse. For God so loved Jane or Sam or Pete or Sally that he gave his son just for you. Just for you. That's how much you mean to the God of the universe. All power has been given him. Verse 19, therefore, you go. Now, I've changed the order of those words a little bit, but that's really what it's saying. Anytime you see a therefore or a wherefore, you ought to wonder what it's there for. Right? Got that? Huh? Anytime you see a therefore or wherefore, you ought to wonder what it's there for. So, if I said red sweatshirt hoodie, therefore, I'm going to just knock your block off. All these other guys are saying, boy, I wonder what he did to deserve that, huh? What's he so? It always brings up, I wonder what happened before he said that, right? So anytime you see a wherefore or a therefore, it's relating to something that came before that, right? Got it? You young guys got it, right? The old folks, yeah, it's a little slow. So stay with me. If we repeat, it will be for the older folks. Okay. So, the Lord Jesus is saying, listen, therefore, and we say, therefore what? Because all authority has been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Therefore, you can have all the confidence in the world. Get off your seats, get on your feet, get out in the street, and reach people for me. That's Bob's translation. Right? Therefore, you go and make disciples. Right? Got it? Stay with me. I'm watching you guys. Okay. Listen, he's got all the authority in the world. He is more powerful than the President of the United States. Listen, if President Trump, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, said, listen, what's your name?
Daniel.
Good name, huh? Take on any lions lately? Take on any burning furnaces?
No.
No, okay. Okay, Daniel. Keep up. If President Trump came to your house and he said, listen, Daniel, here's a piece of paper that says, Daniel gets free pizza on me every day. What's your favorite pizza?
Just normal cheese pizza.
Papa John's, huh? Come on.
Little Caesar's,
okay, second best. Okay. President Trump writes a letter and he says, Daniel can get Little Caesar's, stuck in my throat. Little Caesar's pizza. Whenever and however much he wants. Signed, Donald Trump. Gives it to you, right? What are you going to do?
Go get pizza.
You bet. You're going to march into Little Caesars like you own the world, right? You're going to say, hey, bucko, pizza for me and my friends. Right? You're going to be worried about it? No. You're going to be afraid to go in there? No. You're going to be confident you're going to get some pizza? You bet. Why?
Because the president said.
Listen, you've got a signed letter from Jesus the Christ that says, listen, I'm not the president. I'm the president of the presidents. And you can go into all the world and you, Daniel, can make disciples. And you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and a little orphan kid from South St. Paul. And you can go with confidence, and you can go with a surety, and you can go without fear, and you can go with knowing that it, you have any doubt they're going to give you a pizza? Stay with me. Do you have any doubt they're going to give you a pizza?
No.
Your parents may not let you eat it. You got to work that out with your parents. No. Why? Because you've got the authority to go in his name and claim that pizza, right? You and I have the authority of Jesus Christ to go out into the world and make disciples, right?
Amen.
Right? You can say amen, even in an assembly. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Now, what do you do with them now? You got the pizza. Okay, what are we going to do with this pizza, right? Well, We're going to baptize them, not the pizza. Right? We're going to baptize them. That's their first opportunity to be obedient to their Savior. Right? It's an important thing. It really is. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. They're demonstrating their belief and their obedience to a triune God. One God, three personages in the one God. And they're doing what he said. Why are you going to get baptized? My Savior told me to. Why are you going to get the pizza? My president told me to. Why didn't you go to Papa John's like Mr. Bob said? Because the president didn't tell him to go to Papa John's, right? He's got a letter to the other place. Why are you getting baptized? Because Jesus told me to. It's my first act of obedience. And I'm demonstrating to the world what has happened to me. My old self is dead. My new self is alive. I've buried that old life. You'll get to know me better. I was a sailor for 25 years. It was my dream since I was 5 years old. I wanted to be a chief in the Navy. I was a sailor for 25 years. I won't ask you for, you don't have to give a verbal response to this, but when you think of a sailor, what kind of activities do you think of? I said I'm not asking you for a verbal response. That's probably one of the least, yes. Yeah. Listen, life in the Navy, that's kind of the way that life in the Navy is. Well, I'm telling you what, when I got saved, November 1975, I became a new person. That old life was buried. And I rose in salvation to be a new creation in Christ. And if you're a believer, that's you too. And in my old life, I walked in a certain path. In my new life, I have a new path to walk. It's completely different than the old one. Sometimes I marvel at it myself. We used to drive down streets, and what we noticed was the various bars along that street. Look at that one. Look at that one. Maybe we'll come back and go to that one. Right? Now we drive down streets, and I notice church buildings. Look at the steeple on that one. Look at the cross on that one. Isn't that a nice building? Right? What changed? Right? Only one thing. A person came into my life. And that person made me different. When they become a disciple, a follower of him, a learner of him, their first act of obedience is they're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then, verse 20, teaching them to observe, what's the next word?
All.
Oh. Are you sure? Let me do it again. Verse 20, teaching them to observe
all.
Are you sure? What do you think? Teaching them to observe
all
things whatsoever I've commanded. Are you sure it doesn't say teaching them to observe some things? Or the easy things? Or the things you agree with? It does. It says all things. That's a little hard. All things. Which things in this book, Daniel, Pizza Man, which things in this book are important?
Everything's important in this book.
What do you think? What's your name?
Ethan.
Huh?
Ethan.
Ethan.
Yes.
What things are important in this book? You guys, you other guys buy into this? Huh? Everything's important. Every word of it. Every jot and tittle, even the littlest strokes, important, right? So, when it says, thou shalt not steal, what do you think it means? Number two, gray shirt. What's your name?
Stephen.
Oh, that's a good name, too. When it says, thou shalt not steal, what does it mean?
Don't steal.
Don't steal. Oh, okay. We used to have this habit when we traveled. I traveled about 300 days a year in the Navy. And we'd go to a hotel to check in. And in those days, they put a little sign-in sheet on the counter. Some of you are old enough to remember this. Some of you are thinking I've lost my marbles. But they would slide out a little sign-in sheet on the table, and they'd give you a pen, and they'd say, please register. And so we got in a habit of the Navy used to have little black pens that said U.S. Navy along, embossed on the side of them. Maybe some of you have seen those. And so they'd hand us a pen and the sign-in sheet, and we'd say, oh, don't you have a Navy pen? Well, just a second. And sure enough, 90% of the time, they had a Navy pen. Where'd they get that? Why do you suppose it said U.S. Navy on the side of it? Because who did it belong to, Stephen?
The Navy.
The Navy. How did the hotel get that?
Huh? The Navy gave it to them.
No, I don't think so. When did the government ever give you anything? The government's in the business of sucking the life out of you. I'm kidding, kidding. Any federal workers here tonight? I'm sorry. Right? It says U.S. Navy on it because it belongs to the U.S. Navy, right? How did they get it? Somebody stole it. It might have been one of them. But we did a survey one time, and about 90% of the hotels all had U.S. Navy pens in them. Are you a Christian, Stephen?
Yes, sir.
Whose name is written across you? This is a Christ one, right? Right? That's what Christian is, someone who belongs to Christ, right? I'm a Christian. Don't let the devil steal you, right? A thief doesn't steal out in the open. A thief sneaks in and steals things. The devil will sneak in and try to steal your life. All. It's all important. It's all important. What's not important in this book? Go ahead.
Nothing.
Nothing. There's nothing not. We got any English teachers in the crowd? There's nothing not important. I don't think that's right, but I don't know how else to say it. Do you? Jan, you know? There's not anything not important. That doesn't sound any better. But you get the idea, right? Everything in this book is important. There's not anything in this book that is not important. Every little bit of it. What about, forsake not, now I'm going to quit preaching and start meddling a little bit. What about, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, ... as the manner of some is, emphasis added, right? What do you think? Is that important or not important? Huh? Important, right? Well, you don't understand. Oh, I do understand. I really do. I really do understand. And some of these decisions are hard, aren't they? I'll tell you a story. We had a little lady in our meeting. She's with the Lord now. I led her to the Lord. And she never came out Wednesday nights. And I think Wednesday night, is prayer meeting here Wednesday night? Okay. I think Wednesday night's pretty important because we pray for people. And if I'm in the hospital having surgery, it's important for you to be here praying for me, right? But then when I'm fixed and you're in the hospital, it's important for me to be here pray for you, right? It's a two-way deal. Well, anyway, she never came Wednesday nights. And so I met her one evening at the chapel and I said, so-and-so, I said, you know, we've really been missing you on Wednesday night. It's really important we get together and pray. Oh, she said, you don't understand, Mr. Bob. I'll lose my job if I even ask to have Wednesday off. Really? I can't imagine that, but I said, what if you told them you'd work extra hours on another day to make up for that? Or you'd come in earlier on Wednesday so you could get off for a couple hours for prayer meeting. Oh, no, she said, if I even asked for it, they'll fire me. I said, well, where do you work? I'll maybe go by and talk to them or something. Where do you work? Oh, she said, I work at Walmart. Oh, okay, well, that's a big company. One person can't be that critical, you know. I said, what do you do at Walmart? Oh, she said, I'm the greeter. I said, you're the greeter at Walmart, and they'll fire you if you even ask for having Wednesday off? Yeah, she said, my boss is really tough. I said, well, listen, you know, my God, how much authority has been given to our God?
All.
Even over Walmart? What do you think? I said, listen, how about you ask for the time off, and if they fire you, I'll pay your salary till you find another job, and I'll trust the Lord to pay me back to pay you. Well, she said, I wouldn't want to do that. I said, oh, yeah, but I want you at prayer meeting. Okay. Well, I'll give it a try, she said. Sunday came. I walked in the chapel. She sees me from across the chapel. She's lit up like a Cheshire cat. She said, Mr. Bob, you'll never guess. Duh. Right? You'll never guess. I said, no, I probably can't. Tell me what happened. Oh, she said, I asked my boss if I can have the day off. She said, I'm a Christian. And you see, we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And I really think it's important for me to be there. So I wouldn't even mind working overtime if I could have just a couple hours off to go to prayer meeting. She said, you know what he did? He said, anybody who has prayer is that important. She said, he not only gave me the time off, he put me in charge of the schedule. I can take any time off I want to take. Listen, all authority has been given to him. He's more powerful than President Trump. Powerful than President Obama. He's more powerful than the Clintons together. He owns the universe. And we need to be important about everything and learn to obey everything in his word. Now, I know you can't turn the switch tomorrow, but you can work these things along to where we can get in line with what he asks us to do, right? Teach them to obey all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Look at Romans real quickly. Romans 8 and verse 29. Now this can be a kind of a testy little verse, so if you have great disagreement with me, we'll arm wrestle after the meeting, but I'll just give it to you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Right? It doesn't say he predestinated you to be saved, but he predestinated you to a work. He knew you were gonna, if you're a believer, he knew before the world was formed that you were gonna get saved. He didn't make you get saved, but he knew the choice that you would make. And he predestined that those that got saved, the goal was to see them made Christ-like, to be conformed to the image of Christ. You and I are works in progress, like brand new little mold of clay, a mound of clay. And he's making us through circumstances and other people and situations into the likeness of his son. Did the Lord Jesus have an easy go in this world? Blue shirt in the back.
No.
These guys will never sit on the front rows again. Huh? Did he have an easy time?
No.
The old saying is, smooth seas and fair winds do not a good sailor make. Good sailors are made by storms. I had a ocean-going sailboat. I was a licensed charter captain, and I just turned my boat over to my grandson, who's also in the Navy, and we delivered it in March. March is not the month to be on the Gulf of Mexico. It was the worst weather I've ever been out in. It was fearful I was the only one who knew how to sail. I had prayed that the Lord would give us beautiful weather, a bonding time, me and my grandson, right? It was horrible weather. We escaped with our lives. We got the boat to Florida from Louisiana to Florida, across the Gulf of Mexico. I won't go into all the gory details. It was a horrible ride. Most of my hair turned gray on that trip. When I got there, I said to him, Robbie, I said, I'm really sorry that this didn't go like I had planned. He said, they all call me Popeye. He said, Popeye, I got to tell you, it was the best experience of my lifetime. He said, out there in that bad weather, the boat, the wind, on that boat, you move like a spider. When you get ashore, you turn back into an old man. See, the God of the universe uses tough things to sharpen dull people. We may not like going through it. We may not want it. We wouldn't ask for it. We wouldn't sign up for it if there was a volunteer line. But he knows what we need to make us Christ-like in our lives. And listen, get this principle down. God is like a big filter around you as a believer. If you're a believer, that's key. If you're a believer, he's like a big filter around you. Nothing can get to you that he doesn't approve of. Now, he doesn't cause you to have cancer, doesn't cause you to lose your leg, and there's all kind of horrible things. Doesn't necessarily cause, but he allows it because he knows it's for your good. It's just like, the no pain, no gain. You can tell I'm a incredible health fanatic. My friend Jeff Johnson, you'll get to know him. We've been friends for 40 years. He is Mr. Health. I am something other than that. So don't tell him that I told you this, but you ask him who it is that had a stroke not long ago, right? It wasn't Mr. Hamburger King. Now, I may drop dead in the pulpit before I leave here, but anyway. He allows us to go listen, this is the king of health. You wouldn't have signed up for that, right? It could not have happened to him unless he allowed it, right? And the tough weightlifting, we wouldn't sign up for. So he's got to just bring it on. But when he brings it on, you can count on this, that somebody who loves you more than anybody in the universe has brought this into your life because he loves you. And you got to hang on to that. When the seas are above your head and you're the only guy who knows how to sail on this boat and you think you may not make it to the next harbor, you got to believe that the guy who loves you more than anything has brought this into your life, or allowed it into your life at least. Because he's conforming you to the image of his son. Look over at chapter 12 in Romans. Real quick, before I get into Mr. Johnson's time. Chapter 12, Romans, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You know, they say the only trouble with a living sacrifice is keeps crawling off the altar, right? Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just, when you think about his love and his sacrifice for you, it's just reasonable that you give yourself back to him. A living sacrifice. Oh, you don't know, Mr. Bob, if I even ask for the time off, I'll lose my job. Be willing to lose your job. And trust the one who has all the power. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the drugs that you can get from some doctor somewhere, and he'll modify your life. Right? Doesn't say that. By the renewing of your mind. Right? Be conformed to Christ. See your mind renewed. Don't be a jello Christian. You know, a jello Jill, my aunt used to make me birthday cakes, by the way. And she always made them in the, she had a mold like a lamb. So Bobby, for his birthday, got little lamb birthday cakes. And then in the summer, she would pour Jell-O into the same mold, and I would have little Jell-O lambs. After I got saved, I thought, you know, I've seen a lot of Christians like that. Right? Depending on the surroundings that they're in, they just mold themselves to that surrounding. Right? Don't be a Jell-O Christian. You be the mold. Right? You expect the world to conform to your image. When you walk in the room and they're telling a dirty joke, they ought to shut up and say, oh, we're sorry. We didn't mean to say that around you, right? Why? Because they know you're a Christian. And you don't talk like that. And you don't act like that. You don't go to those places. You don't dress like that. You don't behave that way. You don't hang out with those friends. You don't go to those places. Listen, the world is full of potholes and it always looks good. Right? Looks good until you delve into it and you find out it'll kill you in the end. Don't be a Jell-O Christian. The goal is Christ-likeness. The key is obedience. Look at chapter 14 of John. John chapter 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. What's the first word?
If.
Okay, let's do it again. What's the first word?
If.
If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Baptizing them and teaching them to observe what? All things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the age. Why do I have to obey all the things? Because if you love me, keep my commandments. Look at verse 21. He that has my commandments, oops, and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And look at this, and I'll manifest myself. I'll make myself evident in their lives to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if a man loves me, he'll keep my words, and my Father will love him. Well, now, in 21 we got commandments. In 23 we got words. You ladies know how this is. How many moms do we have? Oh, let me do that farther. How many moms of little boys do we have? We'll pray for you. So here's how it is. You say, Johnny, your job today is to carry out the trash. Now, a little girl would just carry out the trash, right? Right, girls? Amen. Right? Amen from the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th row, right? Amen. Little boy, not so much. There's trees to climb, dogs to chase, you know, there's other big things. Huh? So you come home in the afternoon, trash isn't out. Johnny, didn't I tell you to carry out the trash? Oh, I will, Mom. You know I love you. You know I love you. Okay. Next morning, trash isn't out. Johnny, didn't you hear me? Now, carry out the trash. Right? That's a command. Next week, you come home from work. Where's the trash? He carried it out. Why did he carry it out? Because he knew that's what you wanted him to do, right? The first one, he's obeying your command. The second one, he's obeying your word. He's obeying what he knows you would like him to do. If you love me, he that has my commands and keepeth them, he it is that love me. On the other hand, if any man love me, he will keep my word. If you really love the Lord, you won't have to be told all the time. You'll just do it because you know he loves you. He that, verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine. So, but one more verse. Look at Philippians 2. Oop, I heard a beep. Philippians 2, I'm working on it, Jeff. I'm getting there. Philippians chapter 2, And verse 5, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So again, your Christ-likeness here, right? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God. He thought it not something to be grasped onto to keep his royal splendor. But made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of man, he what? Humbled himself. That's a key. He humbled himself and became obedient. And what was the goal? Unto death, right? Here's the procedure. Humility leads to obedience. And obedience leads to death. Death to self and life to him. One last verse, Ephesians chapter 3. Starting at the 8th verse. Paul's commission by the Lord. He says to the church in Ephesus, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace or this gift or this enablement given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Isn't that the gospel? That's the go ye, right? And Paul was obedient. He humbled himself. He didn't say, listen, you can't tell me to do that. I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I studied under Gamaliel. I don't have to go to the Gentiles. They're dogs, for crying out loud. He humbled himself, and he became obedient. This grace is given unto me that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and, here's the second half of it, to make all men see what is the fellowship or the joint participation of the mystery. That's the mystery of the New Testament church. A new organism. Jew and Gentile put together in one body. Unheard of in the past. It was masked. It wasn't that kind of a mystery. It was something hidden in the past but now revealed. Jew and Gentile as one. Male and female. Jew and Gentile. All together in one body. And Paul says, not only am I to reach them, the go-ye, but I'm also to teach them to observe all things whatsoever have been commanded. Make them see what is the joint participation of the New Testament church. This is a wonder. Listen. What's your name?
Brian.
Brian, there is no end to what you can do in this local church. If you said, in any other church in town, if you said, I'd like to preach, they would say, can't do that. You been to seminary?
No.
You got a college degree?
No.
You finished high school?
No.
Well, I'm sorry, son. No preaching for you, right? You don't have the boxes checked. This local church, where's the elders? Okay. You got any requirement for college degree? No. You got any requirement for seminary? I'm sorry. No requirement. Listen, Bob Snow's been to one. And there's a lot to be learned. But it's not a prerequisite, is it? Right? My former elder that I served with for many years was a functional illiterate. He couldn't read or write. He could almost quote the King James Bible to you, but he couldn't read or write. And he brought a good message. And he was a good teacher of the scripture. No prerequisite. You can be as much as God wants you to be in this local church. And it's the only local church in this whole town of Grand Rapids, Michigan, where that's true. And Paul wanted to have all men to see what is the fellowship, the joint participation. You got a part in this church. You've got a part in this church. You've got a part in this church. Everybody here has a part in this church because it's the body of Christ and you're part of that body. And Paul thought that was an important thing, that everybody learned that, and there was an intent. There's a reason for it. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the angelic beings, principalities and powers in heavenly places, that they might know by the church, ecclesia, the called out company, how really wise God is, the manifold wisdom. You know that there's angels watching us right this minute. And they're saying, amen. That guy, he may be a preacher one day. Or those guys, the pizza guy. Listen, he may be a youth leader. He loved pizza so much he wanted to invite all the young people to it, right? He thought, I like doing this. I'm going to be a youth leader. Somebody else heard this beautiful piano play, and they said, I'd like to play the piano. It's the fellowship of the mystery. Might God bless. Father, thank you for you. Thank you for our time together. Ask a blessing on your word for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.